Welcome to the Confident Healer Podcast. I'm Sharmila Molly. I'm a self-love expert, an intuitive healer, and also your hostess for this podcast. You are about to hear inspirational, uplifting, and soulful conversations about the ins and outs of having confidence, maintaining self-love, and sanity as we answer the calling of being a healer and running a business. I would really appreciate it if you could help me grow this podcast by telling others about it and by becoming a patron by donating monthly or giving a generous one-time donation. When you donate, it lets me know that you love what I'm doing, and by donating, you are supporting me, a healer running a small business. You can find the PayPal link on theconfidenthealer.net and in every show note. So thank you so much for being here, and let's get on with the show. Welcome to the Confident Healer Podcast. I'm your hostess, Sharmila Molly. I'm also the creator and founder of my nine-month Confident Healing Reiki training program. And today I'm really excited because this is someone I've received energy healing from, and he's so amazing. And I was like, oh my God, I really want to interview him. So he's here today. So today we will meet a sweet and peaceful soul. He is a clinical and spiritual hypnotist based in County Galway, Ireland. He uses clinical hypnosis to assist people with a wide variety of common issues such as fears and phobias, quitting smoking, anxieties, and letting go of unwanted habits. In his work with spiritual hypnosis, he guides people to connect with their higher self and its vast knowledge and wisdom, as well as journeying through their soul's past experiences and incarnations to receive answers, clarity, and healing. He facilitates these powerful and often transformational experiences as a practitioner of past life regression and a level 2 practitioner of the late Dolores Cannon's quantum healing hypnosis technique, or QHHT. He is also a practitioner of 13th octave Lahochi, a powerful, and it is, yet gentle, very gentle, form of energy healing, which facilitates the release of old cellular memory and blockages, as well as anchoring high frequency healing light and energy into the physical and energetic bodies. He loves all aspects of his work with others and facilitates his hypnosis and energy healing sessions online with clients all around the world. So with a very big hug, please welcome Jonathan Finn. Yay!
Thank you, Sharmila, for the lovely introduction. And thanks for having me on. It's great to be on.
Oh my gosh.
I'm looking forward to chatting.
Me too. So I have to tell you, I have to tell her how we met.
I am
an avid Reddit user. We'll just leave it at that. Spend way too much time on that. And there was a subreddit for energy healing, and Jonathan had posted on there. He was doing these Lahochi 13th octave Lahochi sessions, and I was like, okay, I'll try that. And it was amazing. I had two sessions, and I have two cats, and one of them, Sabrina, loves energy work too. They both love energy work, but if she's there, he won't come. So my other cat, and I had to share this beautiful energy with her. I was like, oh, she's not going to move. She was there right as soon as you started. She was there the whole time. It was so funny. And I was like, no, I don't want to share this, but I just can't tell you, Jonathan, how, you know, I forgot to mention to you our first session, how I was really, it was really interesting because I was, these good memories were coming up for me, and I was like,
wonderful.
We can just release those too. Just cut those cords and make room for new good stuff. And then also, I also felt like, cause I get acupuncture like twice a month, and I also felt energetic. I was like, oh, okay. And then I totally forgot. Well, actually, I didn't really read all the benefits and some of the things. And when I went back to your Reddit post, I saw that. I was like, oh my God, that's exact. Oh, I totally forgot to tell him that. So
yeah, I was just going to say, yeah. Yeah, that's one of the things, you know. It's like etheric acupuncture. You know, that's one of the things. So it's funny you mentioned that it does actually feel similar to that.
Yeah, but energetically, like I could just feel, I was just like, it was just like someone was going boop, to my energy. Boop here. You know, just, it was very interesting.
Brilliant.
So how did you, so let's go into the Lahuchi 13th octave. Cool. How did you explain that? Explain everything. How did you come into it? What drew you into it?
Yeah, so basically I came across it, a friend of mine came across it actually in a YouTube video. I think, I'm not sure what the channel was exactly, but it was discussing, you know, the Palladians. It was basically discussing them and different healing modalities that they worked with, different forms of healing. And one of them was actually Lahuchi. And that was been around for a very long time. It was originally just Lahuchi. This was before the 13th octave was added. So it was around for a very long time, and it got lost then after the fall of Atlantis, and it was lost for centuries and centuries. And so it came forward then in, I believe, 1991. It was brought forward by a channel named Sachimar. So the original Lahuchi was brought back, and I believe it was five hand positions that was in that. It was kind of the basic form of it. But in the late 90s, then the 13th octave was introduced to it, and so it was expanded. And again, the 13th octave is, as you know, pretty powerful energy. It's a seven-dimensional energy that's brought down with it. And along the 13th octave, there were additional, you know, archangels, ascended masters that come in and work in sessions too. So it really just amplified and expanded the original Lahuchi modality. So again, you know, you're working with those during the session and calling in that high frequency energy, that light, and anchors it into, you know, the physical and the energetic bodies. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Wow, yeah. it's quite a big nutshell. Yeah, I was wondering,
yeah, as much as I could make it, you know.
I was wondering if like the 13th octave had something to do with and then you said it was, you know, like this seventh dimension, and I guess 13th octave has something to do with an Atlantean energy, I suppose. I don't really know that much about that.
Yeah, so it was Lahuchi was originally brought to Earth by the Pleiadians.
Okay.
So it was very much their kind of thing, and it was really around up until the fall of Atlantis. So it would have been used then as well, and also Lemuria as well. Would have been very much around that time. You know, there was lots of different modalities that were brought here to Earth that got lost. You know, that knowledge was lost for centuries and centuries, and brought forward in different ways, you know, whether it's through channels or downloads through people, whatever. But for Lahuchi, that was how that came forth, channel in the early 90s.
Wow. And go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that was it. Yeah.
And so you just saw this YouTube video and was like, okay,
What
drew you to it? Yeah.
Yeah. So, so my friend sent this on. I said, oh, you know, that sounds kind of interesting. I believe in the video too, they might have been talking about, you know, med beds and that different stuff. But yeah, so she was interested in doing the course as well. There was a course coming up, I think it was a couple of months down the line, and it was being facilitated online. But my friend was interested in doing it. And he said, oh, you know, that kind of sounds interesting. I was kind of curious myself, because I hadn't done any prior energy work. You know, I did QHHT, but nothing, I suppose, you know, what you'd say kind of hands-on energy work,
right,
you know, Reiki and that kind of stuff. So I was a bit curious, and especially the background of it as well, that Pleiadian kind of background. So ended up taking that course then. The 13th octave Lahuchi training. And I think that was in September or October last year.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. One of those. I'm going to say October, but not 100% sure. But yeah, it was an amazing training. Very good. You know, really, really powerful stuff. You know, and then kind of after that, then you had to do, you know, the case study sessions for certification. So you had to do 20 sessions to certify as a practitioner.
Did you say two and a day or 20? No, you said two a day.
20 in total.
Oh, 20 in total. Oh, so yeah, you were doing, okay.
Yeah. So 20 in total, and then, you know, submit those to become a certified practitioner.
Wow.
But yeah, it's really wonderful, even, you know, those sessions. As you mentioned, I worked with you, you know, while I was doing those first 20 sessions, and it was really beautiful getting used to that energy and being around it. And so many of the sessions were different.
Mm.
You know, everyone had different experiences, and that's the great thing about the sessions and that energy. It's like any energy work, people receive what they need,
right?
So it's going to be different for everyone,
right?
But so it was really nice to witness all that and just how varied it was and the different experiences people had during those sessions. And I've loved working with it since.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. So it was interesting because, you know, you said, if you need more references, just go. And it's, you know, that was the second time that I received energy work from Reddit. I'm very active in the subreddit Reiki, of course. And so there was another person,
nice,
offering free, you know, wanting to give free sessions, for practice and, you know, giving testimonials as well in exchange. And that was wonderful. It was beautiful, experience. So I just thought, hey, why not try again? And so I had no idea.
Yeah, just keep doing it.
Yeah. Just like, well, why not? It's something I totally don't do, but just was, I don't know. I guess something I picked up in both posts, and I just, you know, and then when I met you, I was like, oh my God, that's why I introduced you, like, because your energy is so sweet.
Oh,
like,
thank you.
Such a sweet being, and just like very peaceful, you know, like you just, you know, there's something about you that just exudes that. So I'm not surprised that you have this whole other background too in hypnosis with Dolores Cannon and whatnot. And so that doesn't surprise me, but I am surprised that that was your first like kind of hands-on energy healing, because with any type of work, I sort of call it esoteric with hip. I kind of put hypnosis in that because you're digging into someone's mind and their memories. And, you know, I mean, I know a little bit about hypnosis. I've had it many times and
nice.
Listened to, but just, you know, you're putting in, suggestions of whatever it is that they want, you know, suggesting
absolutely
change something and you can do it, you know, just embedding these statements. And so it's very, you know, it's all energy work. I mean, we're always doing that, just this exchange, just talking, it's everything's energy, but like doing that hands-on, that's really surprising. I mean, it was just such a beautiful experience. And I got a lot when I think about like what came up for me and what needed to change. Cause you didn't ask me like to tell you about it. You just said, you know, if you wanted to set an intention, you don't have to tell me. And I was like, okay, I'll just, you know, and just how things shifted, you know, like things shifted with, like I had some anxiety about a couple things, and I noticed how that shifted, and it really helped me to shift my perspective. And the other thing too, I remember I was making these YouTube videos, and you're like, oh, you know, and I had to memorize a script, and you're like, oh yeah.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. You said, you know, yeah, that'll be easy peasy. Don't worry about it. And I was like, oh, he's doing his hypnosis. I was like, yeah, you're right. He's right. It is easy. And once I started to go through that memorizing a little bit before, I mean, I didn't spend a lot of time memorizing it, but just reading it a few times, it became easier, and I was able to film three different, almost like three different scripts. So yeah, I was just like, oh, that was so, because I had such a block about it. I was like, oh, I don't want to, you know, because I don't memorize anymore. I just, when I do these things, I just, the only thing I read is the introduction, is someone's introduction, or, you know, I have it in my head, and I was like, ugh, but it had to be so specific, and that's why it was a script. And anyway, so that just, I just, again, just how it helped me, how your energy work helped me get through that hump that I had, this mental hump that I had about memorizing. So again, the power of 13th octave Lahuchi through Jonathan. And then, so tell me about, when did you discover Dolores Cannon's work, and what drew you into that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I discovered Dolores Cannon's work. It would have been, I think, 2017. I think it was about late 2017 or so. I think it was on, it would have been YouTube, maybe a YouTube video. And, you know, a lot of my clients say the same thing. It always seems to be YouTube, you know, there's the conferences she used to do, or her videos, or the different stuff. I think the first one I saw, I think it was the one called Between Death and Life, which she basically talked kind of the same content of her book of the same title, Between Death and Life. And that was a lot, you know, it was very, very eye-opening, very mind-opening. And, you know, especially as well, Dolores, you know, watching it for the first time, I was like, oh, what's this? You know, I put it on and I was going to listen. I think the video was about maybe an hour, between an hour and a half, part of her conference. I think one of the most surprising things as well is just kind of her appearance. Like she seemed like she could be your grandmother.
Right.
Yeah. You know, she was just sitting there, just sitting there in an armchair telling this stuff, just mind blowing stuff. And, you know, it all really kind of resonated. And, you know, she was a very genuine soul. And, you know, I kind of just started digging further after that, further down the rabbit hole. Picked up a couple of her books, and kind of went from there, you know, exploring her work, her books. Ended up having my own QHHT session shortly after I began the training, actually.
Right.
So I began the level one practitioner training, and then it was less than a month later, I had my own QHHT session, and then I was working through the level one training. And again, for that, there's 25 case studies. You know, you have to do those and submit to become a certified practitioner. So I did that and then went on to do the level two training as well. You know, QHHT is, it's really amazing work. You know, it's, again, the biggest thing is helping people to connect with their higher self. That's, you know, as you said, kind of in a nutshell,
right,
that's what it is. But there's a lot more to it too, of course, you know, past life exploration, you know, current life, parallel lives, different stuff. You know, people regressing to source or lifetimes elsewhere, different planets. There's a lot in it too. But again, an amazing modality. And, you know, it's brilliant that Dolores, you know, spread that around, and the amount of people that are actually doing it now. It's definitely contributing to awakening.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, I feel so. Yeah.
Yeah. Because she passed away, like, it's been a while, like at least 10.
Yeah, it was 2014.
Oh, 2014. Oh,
2014.
Okay.
You passed away. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard her name, you know, thrown around, and I was like, oh yeah, I kind of remember her from like the 90s. And, I don't know too, I know who she is. I don't know too much about her work. And then, so what were you doing before you got into this type of healing work? Were you in another type of healing work, or were you completely different? Were you like a mechanical engineer or something?
Well, no, I definitely wasn't a mechanical engineer. But yeah, so before that, I really had no concept, you know, of kind of the I suppose, the spiritual world, the metaphysical, even anything along personal development. That was kind of my first step on the ladder. Mm-hmm. I'm a musician, so that was really my main thing before getting into this work. I wouldn't have really had much of a concept, you know, of kind of the stuff I'm doing now. You know, I'm sure if you told me a couple of years back that I'd be doing this now, I'd probably laugh. I'd probably laugh at you, you know, but that's life. You know, we learn and we grow and we change.
Right. What kind of musician?
Going along for the ride. It was mainly rock stuff.
Do you play an instrument or?
So guitar would have been my main instrument. I play a bit of bass and drums as well.
Oh wow! But okay.
That would have been the main one. So it was an interesting transition, but I suppose similar in ways. It's, you know, that creative. It's that more, definitely more right brain than left brain stuff.
Right.
As you mentioned, I definitely wouldn't be a mechanical engineer, but so definitely that creative, that intuitive part of the brain. So that kind of links across nicely.
Yeah, right.
But so that was really me before coming to the work I'm doing now. And that kind of started off with just the personal development stuff. I think The Secret probably would have been the first book. Mm-hmm. Getting into the, you know, the law of attraction, the metaphysical kind of stuff.
Right.
And again, from there, it was just the rabbit hole down.
Right.
Joe Dispenza, Bruce Lipton, right. Dolores Cannon,
right.
Eckhart Tolle, you know, all those wonderful people.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you still play a little or did you just hang up? I mean,
I still play a little, but not as much now. It's just mainly as a hobby now. I used to, you know, play out and gig mm-hmm. quite a bit, and I used to be in bands, but it's generally now just kind of playing for fun, you know, as a hobby and for creativity as well. So
wow,
that's kind of it for now.
talking about confidence, so what's the most important question?
Absolutely.
How did you did you feel confident about, like, okay, well, I'm going to learn this and I'm going to learn the quantum hypnosis, QHHT. You'll have to again spell that out again. Was confidence building for you? Was that easy or hard when you started doing this work?
That's a great question. When I first began, it was funny. When I first began the training, you know, it was really just out of curiosity. I didn't think I'd actually get to the stage where I'd be facilitating sessions with people.
Right.
You know, I was just curious, and Joy is a big fan of her work, having read a lot of her books and watching her conferences and stuff. And the course, you know, it was really just a curiosity thing. Again, I didn't think I'd actually get to the stage of doing sessions. So I just kind of jumped in and went through it. And, you know, before I knew it, the coursework finished. It was like, oh, session time. I was like, okay. And, you know, when you're starting out, you're nervous.
Right.
Especially with QHHT, because, you know, there's, you know, of what can actually happen in sessions, what people can experience, you know, some really out there stuff. And there were definitely a couple of sessions, like in my first few, that I was like, whoa, you know, there's really advanced stuff that I wasn't aware of. Stuff that just kind of blew my mind at the time. And I was like, whoa, this
like
is
what?
We this is a lot.
Mention names or anything, but what?
Yeah.
So mind blowing about what?
There was one particular session. It was my first one where someone went to a past life, or you could say parallel life, as an ET. Mm. So they went to a lifetime as an Arcturian being, and they were an important figure. They were on a panel with lots of other different beings and basically discussing Earth, who has to go to Earth, answer the call to help Earth. That was kind of that person's role, but they were an important figure, and on the planet was Arcturus, and they kept referring to it during the session as the crystal planet, which was cool. And the client also had difficulty speaking English throughout the session. So we'd be talking in English, you know, I'd be asking, you know, what are you seeing? What are you seeing now? You know, describe to me. And they'd say, I see this and this. And then they just bust into a different language, which is Arcturian. It sounded very much like light language, but just going off. So that was really kind of, that was above my pay grade at the time. So yeah, so there was still a couple of Dolores' books that I missed. So I made sure to read those after that and catch up on the ET kind of stuff. And
so how did you, obviously you just went with it and was like, okay, I'll just, you know, like what was your reaction? And because you're in the middle of facilitating the session for this.
Yeah. So it was fine. You know, there was, it wasn't difficult or anything to do, you know, it's really the same thing. You're just, you know, they're telling you what they're experiencing and you're like the inquisitive reporter.
Right.
And you're just kind of asking and getting a couple more details, asking questions and guiding them through the experience. So that wasn't difficult, but I think it was more the content. It just kind of caught me off guard. It was pretty out there.
Right.
Bit further out than what I was aware of at the time. But it was a really interesting session. You know, there have been ones like that since. And, you know, well, I'd like to think that I'm a bit, that I'm a bit more aware of, you know, that kind of level of stuff now. But yeah, it was very interesting, you know, especially those early sessions.
Right.
Because there's such a vast amount of different experiences that people have.
Right. Especially when you're just kind of new to all of this, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely learn and experience. But it was beautiful, yeah. And so, Joe, you know, I'm happy to have worked with, you know, lots of beautiful people over the past couple of years, you know, and helped them to help themselves.
Right.
You know, and I really think that's the kind of key thing. Whatever modality I'm using, you know, whether it's clinical hypnosis, past life regression, QHHT, or 13th octave Lao Chi, whatever it is, I don't really view myself as the healer as such, or as the person doing the work. You know, I'm just the guide, and I'm helping them to heal themselves, to helping them to make the changes in their own life. That's kind of the way I look at it. And I think that, you know, that kind of takes a load off you, you know,
it takes
the ego out, you know, right. So you're not kind of like, you know, I'm doing this, you know, I'm just the guide, I'm the conduit for the energy, whatever you want to call it. So I really think that does kind of circle back to, you know, you mentioned the confidence. I really think that was a big realization, realizing that, you know, it's not you in control of the sessions. 95% of what happens, you know, is up to the person sitting or laying in front of you or on the other side of the screen, depending on what you're working with.
Right. Wow. Yeah. It's fascinating, that you feel that way. You know, because it seems like probably because you're connecting with different energies and I don't know, just stop me if I'm wrong. And I'm only saying this because I've gone through that same experience. Like, you know, you're connecting with an energy and like, oh shit, I'm not doing this. Like, it looks like it because there's me in the room, but it's not me. You're a conduit, right?
Conduit. Yeah. And yeah. That's kind of it. Sorry, go on.
No, it's just fascinating too, that it's great that they also with these, you know, getting certified with a QHHT. I know with clinical hypnosis, you know, you have to do a certain amount, you know, to get your hours, to be certain you don't just go like, okay, here's your certificate, go out in the world. And I feel like that being able to do it, to do the thing that you're being trained in, develops that confidence too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as I said, the more you know, the more knowledge you have, the more experience you have, you know, the better you can help people, and you know, your confidence grows as a result of that. You know, when you're seeing results that you have when you work with people. And again, you know, as I said, you know, people, a lot of it is themselves, but at the same time, you have to have the skills to show them how to help themselves.
Right.
That makes sense.
No, yeah. No, it does. Yeah. And then, well, it seems to me too that, you know, having that musicianship as a background and playing, you know, out in the world playing gigs and self-promotion, and this is where the other part of that confidence, not only as being a healing facilitator or a healer, you know, we know who the real healer is here, just using that word. But also, like, you know, building a business takes a lot of it seems like to me, from my perspective, especially with what you're saying, is that maybe that being a musician and being in front of people, it wasn't, even though the modality is vastly different, because music is very healing, and you know, music brings a lot of joy, and it's fun, and you know, playing concerts are fun, but that just sort of you could extrapolate that, you know, being in front of people and like, okay, and you know, telling people about like, oh, I'm playing here, like, oh, I'm doing this now, you know, was that, am I right in that aspect? It seems like that confidence kind of
came. Yeah, that's a great question, and it's honestly something I've never even thought about.
Right.
You know, so again, thanks for raising that. That probably is the case. Again, I'd never thought about it, but I'm sure it does translate across. I'm sure there's some of that I'm bringing across from that, with regards to that confidence. And again, I suppose that networking too. Because again, you know, that's, you know, a musician trying to get people, come to my gig, you know, that kind of, it's a musician's life. So I suppose, you know, some of that kind of probably did come across, I'm sure. Although I've never thought about it before.
Right, because you just do it. That's just, I'm fascinated.
Yeah.
You know, that was not my forte. It was the marketing aspect of it. And so for you, just like, well, I didn't even think about it. I'm just doing it. I'm telling people, like, that is you know, easygoing kind of confidence. Like, well, why wouldn't I not tell people, you know, like that doesn't even occur to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't say I'm the most confident person in the world, but, again, I suppose some of that does carry over, and kind of back to what we mentioned as well about, you know, my kind of view of helping people. Again, you know, the confident healer, you know, I think that's what kind of gave me the most confidence, having that realization that, you know, that you're not doing all the work, you know, that it's not, you know, a lot of it is up to the person as well. You know, if there's an energy healing session and someone doesn't want to accept, or they're resisting, or, you know, whatever it is, you know, that's fine. We all have free will, and it's the same in hypnosis sessions or anything else. You know, if people don't want to change, or if they don't want to make a difference in their lives, you know, you can't force them. You can't make them. We all have free will. So, you know, every choice is ours to make.
Yeah. It's so interesting to hear your perspective, because, you know, I've been teaching Reiki for a long time, and not every person, once they learn Reiki, feel that way, because they feel like, oh, there's a lot of pressure on themselves to make something happen. And for you to realize that so early on, like, oh, it's not me doing it. That's just your whole attitude towards it. You know, you already, you know, not saying there's anything bad, because it's all an evolution and you eventually get to that point, you know, and it's not right or wrong if you think that you're the one doing it or someone else, you know, the source is doing the work, and their guides, the person you're working on, you know, is also doing the work. But that just not taking on that responsibility of, this person has a choice. I can't, you know, I can show them where the water, you know, I don't know if it's the same in Ireland, you know, you can lead a horse to water.
Horse to water, you can't make them drink. Yeah, yeah. That's 100% great analogy. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just fascinating that you already, you know, that is your thinking. So that informs your confidence about the work that you're doing. It's just mind blowing to me. It's like, wow. Cause not everyone thinks like that, Jonathan. I just want to let you know.
Yeah. I definitely wasn't always that way. I'm sure, you know, when I first started QHHT, you know, early sessions, you know, I put a lot more pressure on myself, you know, thinking, you know, what if, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and again, everyone has free will, you know, so there's that thing too, but I definitely had a different mindset then early on, you know, that it was kind of me, you know, me bringing the person into hypnosis, and it was my job for them to go into hypnosis, until I, you know, discovered all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. So, you know,
what does that mean?
So all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. That's a pretty old phrase that's been around a long time, but it basically means that all hypnosis is self-induced.
Mm.
So, you know, the greatest hypnotist in the world can't make you go into hypnosis if you don't want to. So again, we're back to the free will. You know, it's a consensual process, hypnosis, and, you know, it's a natural state we all go through anyways, you know, people driving a car, people watching TV, scrolling through TikTok or Instagram or whatever, you know, it's all hypnosis. It occurs naturally anyways. But, so you're already a master going into it because you do it every day. It's just your brainwaves changing. But, really that's what that is. You know, when I came to that realization too, you know, that it's not my job. I can't make people go into hypnosis. And, you know, I always tell my clients that too, because a lot of people have different conceptions about what hypnosis is, right, and what it isn't.
Right.
Well, one of the big questions is, you know, will I be in control? Or, you know, or people think, I can't go into hypnosis. I'm too strong-minded, or this kind of thing. Kind of expecting a challenge, like, you'll have a tough time, you know, to put me into hypnosis. Said, well, you're right, because, you know, I can't make you go in. What I can do is show you how to go there yourself. I'm thinking, oh, okay. So, you know, and it takes the pressure off, and then you're more confident as a result. And that's kind of the way I operate in all of my work, you know, whether it's the energy work, clinical hypnosis, or QHHT, past life regression. Again, I'm just the guide and the conduit for the energy, you know, right. And it's up to the person to accept that. And, you know, if they really want to change, if they want to accept the energy, whatever it is, depending on the modality, but it's a loop between two of us.
Right.
You know, it's not, I think that's important, or at least in my mind, I think, you know, that certainly makes the process easier for both parties.
Right. Yeah. It's not a closed-ended loop, because you're there to facilitate. So you both are joining together, they're coming to you for help. And sometimes there's a resistance because they are afraid of some sort of change. Right. So yeah, absolutely. It's definitely, you know, you're making a connection. So that creates a loop between the two of you. And that's where the energy exchanges. I mean, that's conversation. That's any, you know, we're just breaking it down in a very quantum, you know, in this esoteric kind of energetic way.
Yeah, 100%.
But I just want to ask this before I forget, because I'm just curious, like, you know, you living in Ireland, and I've not been to, I've not been to that country, or England or Scotland. And so I'm just wondering what the climate is for this type of work. Like, is this common? Do people, you know, are there, I mean, obviously, you know, people are people, and some people are like, yeah, you know, that's a bunch of rubbish, you know,
You know,
or are people more open to it? I mean, because Ireland is the land of, you know, magical beings.
Yeah, as I said, you know, as you mentioned, everywhere is going to have people that are like, you know, that's blah, rubbish, whatever. Ireland, I suppose in comparison to some other countries, Ireland may be a little bit behind, but definitely growing. It's definitely, you know, awareness growing, which is great. As I said, you know, a lot of my work is online too, so that's, right, you know, that's not as big, you know, of an issue.
Right.
But there's definitely a growing awareness in Ireland of, you know, the spiritual, the metaphysical stuff, and community is growing as well, which is amazing, you know, to have, and, you know, to be able to connect with people as well, and, you know, make friendships, build up and stuff like that, you know. So it's, I suppose it is growing, definitely more than it had been in the past.
Right.
Which is great. I'm sure that's, you know, going to continue as well.
Well, I thought it was interesting too that you, because I would have never posted on Reddit about offering a session. You know, like I think that energy healing session is mostly people offering, you know, like, oh, I do tarot cards for $25. You know, so that one's kind of spammed. There's a lot of spam in there. And so I'm just curious, like, so is that what made you contribute to post on Reddit? Like, oh, I'm going to go do this on Reddit. And how many people did you get from that post? I'm just curious.
Yeah. So, first of all, I'm not a big Reddit user at all. I'm not very, I'm actually not.
How did you,
you know, it's strange. Like you know, I was always aware of Reddit, but I never really use it. But
well, that's a good.
I was just kind of, yeah. So again,
it's a time suck. Yeah.
You know, doom scrolling. But I'm not sure what it was. I don't know if you want to say guided to post on it or whatever. But I think I was really just looking for people. You know, I was doing my case study sessions for the 13th Octave, the Lao Chi. And yeah, I think I was just kind of trying to find people, you know, people that may be interested. And I knew, you know, Reddit was pretty much just forum based and there's a forum for everything. So I thought that's worth a shot. I think I typed in energy in the bar and then work came up after. I was like, okay, yeah, that kind of sounds right. So I just went in and popped the post there. I forget what the description of the subreddit is, but it's kind of what it said on the tin, you know, right. energy work. So I thought, yes, I'm sure someone here would be interested in experiencing a session. And, you know, surely enough, you got in touch.
Right.
I think there was two or three others from that post as well.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So it was great, you know, to connect with yourself and, you know, others as well. For people to experience that. But I don't know, the Reddit just came into my mind someday and I just got the urge to post. So wow. I'm sure I was guided in that. But
did you post like on Instagram or on Facebook too? Did you have those accounts?
My personal Facebook. Just my personal Facebook. And then the Reddit post. That was really it. Wow. I got most of them from my personal Facebook, and then the Reddit. Then there was a couple. I said like about maybe four or so. And that was kind of it. That filled. You know, the 20 sessions. Yeah, it was wow. 20 sessions, and a couple more.
Wow, that's so fun! Wow, that's so funny. Like you just because like most people when they don't know what Reddit is. I'm like, how do you not know what Reddit is? It's such a
Yeah, it's around quite a while. Like, you know, it's I was always aware of it, but I never really used it. But I just knew it was forum based. If you had a question about a particular topic, you know, that's kind of even in a Google search, you know, if you type something, you'll probably see a Reddit post come up as well.
Right.
You know, about that. So
right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know a lot
there's a lot of knowledge, you know, and there's a lot of
unknowledge. I think they're knowledgeable, but it's definitely got all of that. But yeah, it's just it's a great, just, you know, you just get into discussions. What I always, anyways, totally off topic, but what I always liked about Reddit were the comments, because it just was so funny. People just riffing off each other and just like laughing. I'm like, oh my God, people are so funny on here. It's a
different energy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Some different, like, you know, Facebook or Instagram or whatever.
Right.
TikTok even. Yeah. It's definitely its own vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very conversational. Like, you can definitely, you know, people are commenting like, oh, I love that. And then of course, you know, I mean, you're a cat lover. Yeah. I'm just saying, there's a million subreddits about all types and people posting pictures of cats and sea. Anyway, so I'm
not even going to look because I'm scrolling for it. Yeah. Rabbit hole.
Yes. Well, but I'll just say that most of the memes, they start on Reddit. They come from Reddit. Like, I'll see stuff. I was like, yeah, I've already seen that cat video. I've seen that cat picture. Like, yeah, I saw that like months ago.
It was
on Reddit. But, I mean, anyway, so you started with QAH with Dolores Cannon's work, and then you got into clinical hypnosis. So what made you want to do clinical as well?
Yeah, so I started with QHHT, and you know, I was working away with that, and again, it's an amazing modality. And I think, again, it was just curiosity, really. You know, I suppose I just wanted to have more of just a greater understanding of hypnosis as a whole, and, you know, to work with different issues, like, you know, things like quit smoking, intrusive phobias, breaking habits, anxieties, different stuff. So again, it was really just curiosity. It was just kind of for my own knowledge. I began a course, and then it kind of went from there, and, you know, practicing, you know, doing practice sessions, and then ending up certifying in a couple of different courses, and then, you know, like the QHHT, going on then to actually work with people in the real world and help people with issues, lots of different kind of issues.
Right.
So really, it's just, you know, it's another tool in the toolbox.
Right.
You know, as they say, if your only tool is a hammer, everything starts to look like a nail.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's,
that's great. I've never heard that actually before.
Have you not?
No.
That's a new one.
Yeah, that's a new one.
Every day is a school day. But so it's really, you know, it is. It's just different tools to use for different issues. You know, that's pretty much it. But you know, I definitely think that's benefited my work with QHHT as well, having that additional knowledge from the clinical background too. You know, there's overlap between them for sure, and the extra clinical knowledge definitely lends itself well to that.
Right.
In the QHHT and past life regression too. You know, which I do standalone as well, and again, you know, that's hypnosis too.
Right.
So, you know, it's all interconnected.
Was that to do they have, I mean, I can just only imagine that they would have, like Ireland would have hypnosis school. So did you learn that in Ireland, or did you have to take, like online courses like in England, from England or the US? Or?
Yeah. So I did. So they're all online courses that it takes again at the time, kind of COVID was still around. This would have been, boom, boom. I suppose it would have been around 2021. There was still kind of, you know, there was no really in-person events or trainings or anything like that. So online was kind of the route I went. And again, it was great. So I trained with a couple different trainers and schools, and, you know.
In your area or in?
So online. So,
Well, I mean, were they, excuse me. I mean, I know they're online.
Oh, so, oh yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Were the locations?
Not from Ireland. So, so one school in the US, and then in the UK as well. And there's a couple of different bits as well, kind of in around that. So I got two certifications from both those schools, and then do different stuff in the meantime, you know, different books, different online stuff as well.
Wow.
Just padding that out just to learn more. But,
Well, that's because I was going to ask you, like, well, how's the last 3 years been for you? But you've just been putting your nose to, yeah, like, just diving into curiosities that maybe you wouldn't have had time for, maybe if things weren't locked down.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, it was, yeah, it was really, I suppose, since 2020, that was really a catalyst, so to speak, you know, for growth. Again, there's, you know, a lot of stuff because, you know, you have so much free time and all this stuff as well. So I really just kind of jumped into that, and I suppose it never felt like, you know, it never felt like work, or it never felt like, it was just fun. And, you know, I love to learn new things. I love to, you know, grow and keep, you know, building skill set, all that kind of stuff. So just kind of curious, but yeah, so that's really just what I've been doing. Just building upon that, and here we are.
Yeah, that's great. That's wonderful. That's, I mean, it's just, yeah, you're just like going down the road, like, oh, here's something new. Like, oh, okay, what's behind this door? And here,
yeah, pretty, you know,
much learning skills, up leveling your skills. That's wonderful. Yeah, that's great. And I'm just wondering, like, so does your family know what you do? Do they understand it? Do they support you? Like, how what's that like?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, they've pretty good idea of what I do. You know, as I said, like the spiritual side of it, you know, the QHHT, is that side of it is probably the most out there. But yeah, I said, you know, family are very supportive of what they do. Not, again, you know, not everyone would understand it, but no one's kind of like, nah.
Right.
But, you know, even if they were, you know, that's, everyone has, we all have free will. We all have choices. If, you know, if something doesn't resonate with you, that's fine. You know, you don't have to follow that road. I mean, right. Like, you know, years ago, you know, I would have been the same. I'd been like, yeah, rubbish. you know, so it's, which is funny, you know, when looking at what I'm doing now. So really it's all just growth. You know, we go through different stages in life, get to different points, and we just grow, you know, our mindsets change, our beliefs change, our perceptions of the world change. You know, so 16, 17 year old me would have a very different outlook of the world than current day me. Yeah, so again, everyone has that choice. Everyone has that free will. So, you know, if somebody doesn't believe or doesn't agree with what I do or whatever, that's fine.
Right, right.
You know, that's, I'm going to do my thing. People right. can do their thing, and that's fun. You know, can all live in peace.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No, I was just curious because, like, I just, from what I know about Ireland, and, you know, it's very family oriented, can be heavily religious, at least with the things that come out of, you know, Ireland, and, you know, very close knit families, you know, for the most part, in whatever, whether it's functional or dysfunctional. But it's very, you know, it's like that tribal sense. Right. So I just, you know, kind of curious, like what.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great question.
Family thinks about that. So that's great. That's good that, you know, they, whatever, they're just like, whatever you want to do, we love you and we support.
Yeah, religion isn't as big as it was in Ireland, which is probably a good thing because, you know, there was a very, you know, Ireland, as I said, in the past was very, very religious. Mm-hmm. And there was a very strong hold, you know, religion had a very strong hold on pretty much everything here. You know, it had a strong hold on the government, it had a strong hold on the way people lived. So that's definitely lessened in, you know, in the past few years, you know, I could say past two decades or so, which again is a good thing. You know, that's, people are freer to live, you know, right. kind of.
So you weren't, were you, that way. I'm not quite sure what your age is. So was that, were you around during the whole, during IRA? Like, cause that was like.
No, that was, yeah, that was a lot after my time. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you so you were born into a world post IRA, post Sinn Féin, and the violence and
that was I was born I was born in 98.
Okay, so it was I think it was like the mid 90s. I can't remember when they call it, you know, it was like a ceasefire. But yeah, I just so that's interesting too for you, for me to, you know,
absolutely
that post that, because I met a lot of Irish people who grew up in that very violent time and fear and so just coming out of that, that's a completely different reality for you, you know.
It is, yeah, absolutely, you know. So between people who might have been old enough to be around during that time and remember events from that time, and you know, yeah, it was very different, you know, environment and way of living for a lot of people that were exposed to that. So you know, again, I suppose the Ireland I grew up in is very different from, you know, the Ireland that people grew up in back then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the other thing too, I just think it's fascinating, is just your whole, you know, just your whole marketing approach. Like I saw that, you know, you've been posting a lot on Instagram and putting up, you know, the whole point of being on Reddit was like, oh, it'd be great to get video testimonials. So I'm just, did you work with a coach or is that something? Cause I know sometimes clinical hypnosis schools will teach business skills. So I'm just wondering where you got that idea from.
Yeah, so those
testimonials are hard to get.
Yeah, you know.
Oh my God, you have to like constantly like, hey, remember to do this. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, again, I suppose that was the thing. I think from the QHHT trainings, that was kind of covered a little bit in that. Oh, you know, okay. Just with the testimonials. So it's kind of just something I did. You know. Building that up, you know, during the case study sessions too. And then kind of prior to that as well. I wouldn't go asking everyone, you know, but generally testimonials I get to be just someone checking in and say, you know, hey, hope you're keeping well. Just want to let you know this happened, or I'm feeling this way. And that's thanks, you know, that's great. Do you mind if I share that? Like, yeah, no problem. So that's kind of my testimonials these days.
That's great.
You know, it's really just people checking in saying, oh, you know, thanks again, or yeah, I'm feeling this way, this happened. And that's pretty much it. But it is I think it is good practice, you know.
Definitely.
Because a big mistake to make is assuming people know everything that you do.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
that's a big mistake kind of I've made.
That same too, you know, it's good to let people know what you do. And not just kind of, you know, you know, like people are, you know, we can tend to be kind of very like, you know, someone asks you like, oh yeah, it's just that. It's nothing. It's you know, we can be kind of reserved sometimes. And
that was me. That's still kind of me.
So it's really, you know, kind of, I suppose stepping into that and letting people know. And again, it's, if you kind of reframe it to, you know, I have these skills. You know, I don't want to sound like Liam Neeson, but I have these skills, you know.
I have a very particular set of skills.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if you have a particular set of skills to, you know, to help people, you know, whether it's to discover something about themselves or to improve their life, to change their life, you know, when you have those skills, you know, that you can actually help people to live a happier life, live a healthier life, a better quality of life. You know, really it's, you know, it's almost like a duty then to kind of let people know that you actually can help them.
I'm laughing because
the Liam Neeson quote, you know?
No, I'm laughing because it was, it, It was so hard for me. And so that's why I do this podcast, because to let other people know, like, hey, how did you do that? You know, how is it for you putting yourself out there? Because that's something that was just very, and I'm very extroverted, but when it comes to like things I do, I mean, it's a whole thing. And so like you sitting here saying, it's like, yeah, those are the obvious things, but no, it's not so obvious for some people. Yeah. It can be very difficult.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that. Yeah. Like I was the same, you know, I was the same as well. You know, I wouldn't tell, especially kind of, you know, as I said, I began with QHHT. And, you know, that's, again, very esoteric, very out there for some people, you know. So if people that ask, oh, what's that thing you do? You know, I kind of dance around it a little bit, you know, just kind of try and downplay the,
right,
the wonderful weirdness of it all. Kind of try and downplay that. So, I did that for a while. So yeah, that didn't really come naturally for me either. You know, it's kind of something I had to work on, you know. You know what? I'm doing what I'm doing. I can help people with this. If there's going to be people that don't like it, there's going to be people right. that disagree. That's fine. They're not the people I'm trying to help. And again, you know, you'll attract people that resonate with you. That's a big part of it too.
Right, but you still have to tell people so that they do know.
yeah, exactly,
they don't
exactly.
Just come, you have to kind of put a sign up and let
magical.
People know.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. and you know the right people, you know, out of you know whatever sign you put up or whatever you know, posts you make or whatever, there's probably going to be people that see that and like, oh, what the hell is that? You know,
right.
Block, unfollow, or whatever, you know, whatever it is. And then there's going to be people that are going to be interested in it and say, you know, oh, I like the sound of that. You know, that resonates with me, whatever it is. So again, you're going to run into both people. Really, you just want to focus on the people that resonate with you and just kind of go for it, really.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty much it, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what, you know, that's why I do this podcast, so that people that are thinking of doing this or are, you know, in their beginning stages or whatever stage they are. I mean, I had been doing it for a long time and that was such the hardest thing was for me to put myself out there. And so with the podcast, it was really easy just to talk to other people about it. And that really helped me, you know, build my confidence with my own, you know, business skills or marketing.
It's amazing.
And because it's not easy and you don't always, you know, some people, you know, they're just like out the gate, like, oh shit. Yeah. They just take it and run with it. You know? And for, you know, for some, it's just like, you know, they're schlepping shit, you know, like for me, it wasn't a marathon. It's been a long ass fucking sprint, you know, which is.
Yeah. Yeah. Slow and steady wins the race.
Totally the way it is. And I just had to, you know, accept that. So, and it's great that you were, you know, that you're sitting here saying like, oh, well, it wasn't like that for me in the beginning. And like.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely not.
And how like that is for anyone learning anything new and where you have to, you know, you have to keep your practice going, you know, just like, you know, you don't just pick up the guitar and just like start shredding. Like there's a progression and, you know, you have to keep practicing, you know, practice, not just like, you know, practice meaning doing it. You just keep doing the work, the thing that you're being trained in, no matter what, whether you're getting paid or not, even when you're getting paid, I still call it a practice because it's all
experience. It's all growth. It's all learning.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So,
That's very well said.
Well, thanks. I've been thinking about that shit for a long time. Do you have any upcoming events for yourself or any specials you want to talk about?
So as far as events, I've nothing really coming up at the moment, but I do plan on running in the near future some group workshops online. So some of those would be past life regression group workshops, which are very fun. They're based off Dolores Cannon's. She often did those herself, you know, group regressions, past life regressions, meeting guardian angels, spirit guides, and a future life exploration as well. So I do plan to run some of those in the future online. So they'll be fun. And there'll be some other stuff as well on the clinical side as well, different workshops that I'll be cooking up in the future. So
great. All right. Well, I will start to close this out, and I just want to so the best way to learn about that, I guess, would be through your social media and website, which
absolutely.
So you can contact Jonathan through Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, Jonathan Finn Hypnosis. And his website is jonathanfinn.ie. You can find him there with these future events that he's going to be putting up. And this will all be in the show notes, how to spell his name, where to find him on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and his website. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on. It was brilliant chatting. I really enjoyed it, Jamila. So thanks a million once again.
Oh my gosh. Thank you.
It was great fun.
Give me a hug. Goodbye. Thank you. So wonderful. Yeah, please. He's amazing. So if you need work,
I appreciate it, Jamila.
Reach out to Jonathan. I look forward to my next sessions with you. And with that, we'll close this out. Thank you so much for listening. And this is the Confident Healer Podcast. My name is Sharmila Molly. We will see you next time. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. You can find information about the guest or any links I referenced in the show notes. And would you help me grow the show by doing these two things? One, sharing the podcast with someone that you think needs to hear it. And two, supporting the podcast by becoming a patron and giving monthly or make a one-time generous donation. It helps me grow the show, and I can just focus on making great episodes for you. You can listen, find the show notes, and the PayPal link to donate all in one convenient location, theconfidenthealer.net. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll see you next week.